Welcome to another episode of Woke with Wesley. I am sitting here with Devin Foote. She happens to be my cousin.
Yes, I am.
My favorite one.
That's right.
I'm allowed to have favorites.
Absolutely.
I know I'm your favorite too.
You are. You know that. That's not a secret.
So Devin Foote is so many things. She is, I'm calling her an entrepreneur.
Thank you.
She's a mom.
I'm a mama of two.
Of two. She just had her second baby. How old's Mateo?
4 months.
So just
and so squishy freshie. And perfect. I know.
He's so cute. So today we are talking about a subject that is near and dear to my heart, that I have so much, I don't know if the word is like empathy. I just put myself in these person's shoes all the time, because being young and having children young and being broke as a joke Absolutely. Is the hardest thing I've ever done. And I don't, unless you've been there, you do not understand.
Not at all.
But I had the benefit of Bronson. He was, even though we were broke as a joke, he was always in school. And well, he never took school.
He attempted, right?
He attempted. But he was hustling. He was like doing internships and making businesses and trying, even though none of them made us any money.
No.
There was always that hope, and I could take care of the kids, do my weird side stuff. But like the weight of finances was on him.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine what it would be like if I didn't have him, being a single mom.
Yeah.
Really young.
Very
young.
With
multiple children.
Yes.
And that is your life.
That is my life.
So we're talking about
single mamas
and single mamas.
Single mamas. I feel like we need that's a group that needs to hear a lot of important things. Get some inspiration.
I want to know everything you have to say about it, because you're an expert at this. I mean, it's been a long time. Gray is 5.
Yeah, she's 5. And now Mateo's 4 months. And so I was a single mom from what, 20 to 24, 25? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Recently now, not a single mom. And it's like a whole nother ball game. But being a single mom, it's no freaking joke. It is like a hustle every day, like you said, without a partner.
Yeah.
It's just you and this little human that depends on you so much.
So tell us your story. Let's start at how you became a single mom.
So I was with, I guess, my high school sweetheart, right, from 15 to 20 or 21. And we accidentally got pregnant and we had Gray, but we actually broke up during the pregnancy. And so I gave birth and was instantly a single mom right then and there in the hospital. You were there. You experienced it all.
I talked about it on Amanda's podcast. It was a freaking party. It was a rager.
It was a rager. Well, my daughter, she's half Polynesian, and they are the most amazing people in the world. They are all about family. So, of course, we had all of them plus our crazy family. And I was so scared and young. I didn't want to do it by myself because I didn't know what I was doing.
So it was a damn circus.
It was a circus. Zoo. Yeah.
There was 150 people.
No, literally. And remember, the nurse was like, we've never had this many people in the waiting room before. And I was so drugged out. Like, I barely remember. But I just know that there was a lot of people and everyone saw me naked.
Yes.
Yeah.
You everyone. Guys, can I will not go into detail, but her birth is one of the most memorable things of my life.
In not a good way.
she had to get induced. She had to get induced. And in the middle of her induction, I mean, she was like at a 7, like her labor was going.
And
there was no stopping it.
Don't
she
forget that.
She got the flu.
Yeah.
You got the flu during your labor.
Yes.
Like barfing. Coming out all ends.
All ends. Yeah, I was dying.
It was the most awful thing I've ever had to witness in my life. I've never felt so bad for a human being.
And remember, there's 150 people watching.
Just all eyes on her. Mm-hmm. Just, it was the worst thing I've ever seen
the
in my
worst.
Life. And then it turned into an emergency C-section.
Yeah. That so I don't remember. I don't remember any of it.
That's your introduction into motherhood.
Alone.
The most traumatic birth that I've ever witnessed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was off to a rocky start. You're single, no money,
no.
Traumatic birth.
Yeah.
Gray is born. What happens?
This perfect little human. I went into like complete fight or flight mode where it was like, okay, I have this little baby. She's perfect. She's beautiful. I love her. How am I going to take care of her? Like, I was I was like 2-3 years out of aesthetic school. And just kind of got like doing lashes on the side from home, plus working like a normal day job.
And you're 20. Let's remember you're 20 damn 20
years old. Which I think in Utah is kind of normal, but typically you're married. But me, I was by myself, right? Like, her dad is there for her, but, like, we weren't together. And I just went to fight or flight mode. I brought her home. I lived with my dad at the time. And I only took 3 weeks off. And this is after, like, a C-section. And just went straight to work. Like, I was so stressed out even taking any time off that it was, like, my brain was going a million miles an hour all the time that, like, I wouldn't produce milk because I was stressing myself out. I just wanted to work. I wanted to provide. I wanted to take care of her. My way of, like, showing her that I loved her, that I was going to be a mom for her, was to make sure that I just took care of her, like, in a financial state.
You were the provider, the caretaker 100%. And the provider.
I mean, I say this, I want to be completely open and honest about this. I her dad is awesome. I respect him, but he wasn't working, like, at all. So, like, I wasn't getting money from him. Or my family is very helpful. I lived with my dad, but, like, I was 100%, like, financially the only one taking care of her. Mm-hmm. And it was gnarly. And honestly, it's a blur. Like, I barely remember her first year of life, which is really sad. I really don't remember it. Like, there's bits and pieces, but yeah, fight or flight mode all the way.
She has said to me, Devin has said to me that she has, I think everyone has, like, regrets. Is regret even the right word?
In a sense, yeah, I feel like it could be. But then again, it's like, it wouldn't have led me to where I'm at, but
It was like the need. It was your instincts. Your instincts to provide for her financially.
Yeah.
It overwhelmed everything else. Like, mm-hmm. that was your drive back then. You had to provide for this little baby in any way necessary.
Yeah.
But you really did, because you became like successful.
I don't know what happened. And I always say it's literally because of Gray that turned me into the entrepreneur, the like business person that I've always wanted to be, but didn't know how to, but knew I needed to somehow, some way. Mm-hmm. And it was because of Gray. I was like, okay, what can I do? What makes the most money is all I could think of. And from aesthetic school, lashes was like the new thing at the time. Like, it was just kind of coming out, but you could make a lot in like a short amount of time. So I was like, I'm just going to specialize in that. I'm just going to like hunker down, get to know how to do this and just be good at it. So I took a couple trainings and I ended up getting like my own little studio, working insane hours, like all day, all night, and would have a nanny during the day for Gray. And then my parents would like watch her at night. And I was paid the nanny, trying to pay for my apartment, trying to pay for a baby, and then working 24/7 nonstop. But I started a lash business at the time, had my own lash line, and it was really successful for a minute there. But then I lost my passion because I didn't want to, it just became too much. Like, it was too much, that company that I started. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just wanted to do my own thing. And this one had like 4 or 5 different people involved.
Probably because you realized that you were burning out.
Like, I was so burnt out.
You can only go so far on your own at some point in all businesses and in all life.
Yeah.
And like, whatever your life is, you need support.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why you switched gears. You needed support.
What's awesome though is, I mean, duh, you're my family, but like, we have the best family. Like, we really do. Like, they're so supportive. If it weren't for my parents being as helpful as they were, like, I genuinely don't know how I would have been able to work those long hours.
I know.
Like, I paid the nanny during the day and that was fine because I'd be working. But then at night, and then I'm sacrificing my time away from Gray, that's my daughter, in order just to work. But I loved it. That's the thing, is I love working. I love being busy. I love having projects. I love coming up with new business concepts. But I also love being a mom. So it's...
You are in the position that every single working mom is in, whether they have a partner or not. And it is like, the mom guilt is for real.
Holy crap, it's so real.
You go to bed thinking worst case scenario all the time.
I thought I was nuts. And I remember calling you crying so many times. Like, is it normal I'm thinking this? Is it normal? And you would have to calm me, walk me off the ledge. Because it's so real. You feel so bad.
Something happens when you become a mother. And I don't mean to freak expecting mothers out, but like, this happened to me, this happened to you, this happens to all the women I talk about. No one talks about this, but you become a mother and all of a sudden you get morbid thoughts.
No, they're so bad.
And it's like anxiety. I never experienced anxiety until I became a mom. And it's this like fear-driven love.
Yeah.
You love them so much that the love turns into fear. And you think the fear is love.
Yeah.
And everything freaks you out. You don't think you're doing anything right.
Nuh-uh.
I would imagine my kids drowning when they were asleep in their bed. I'd be like, oh, what's going to happen? Like, I would think of these awful things to the point where I was making myself crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing that helps is realizing that they're morbid thoughts and that you can turn them off.
Yeah.
Like naming it. Naming it helps. Like, oh, I'm experiencing unrealistic, scary, morbid thoughts.
Yeah.
I need to maybe turn off my brain. None of this is really happening right now. Why am I making up the scenario in my head?
Yeah.
But then you throw money issues on top of it and how you're going to feed and care for your kid and splitting up times between the mom and dad. And then also in your situation, it wasn't 50-50.
No.
I mean, the weight of this, and I love her father, but it was on you. I can say that because it's true.
It's so true.
It was on you. And then that fight.
That was like a whole nother thing. That was heavy. But with time, obviously, it's great now. Soup in a great place now. But at that time, it was so heavy because we're still upset about the breakup. Upset that I'm taking care of the baby and he's not. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it just gets...
Everything's new. A lot. You don't know how to do stuff when it's brand new. I asked how old Gray was. She's 5. Because I feel like motherhood didn't click for me until my oldest, Zuri, was 5. And then they have that book, 10,000 Hours.
Mm-hmm.
And they say to become a professional at anything in life, it takes 10,000 hours of repetitive, like repeatedly doing the task. It takes 10,000 hours. And that's about 5 years.
I need to read that book because that actually really makes sense.
It makes so much sense. But it really clicked for me when she was 5 and I got the hang of it. And then I threw 2 more kids in the mix. But yeah, it takes a minute. And I want the listeners to hear that.
Yeah.
Because as a new mom, when all you see scrolling through Instagram is lovey-dovey, beautiful. I love this. I've never been more fulfilled and happy. And that is not the majority of most of our realities.
Not at all.
And for the ones that it is, I'm so happy for you. It wasn't me. It was really, really difficult.
It was literally like you're trying to catch a little bit of breath. Like you just feel like you're drowning all the time.
Yeah.
Just trying to like catch a breath. But then it's also so rewarding.
I know.
Like, because you just, now I look at Gray and I'm like, I don't know how you're alive. I don't know how I did this. But like, you're perfect and you're so cute and beautiful and smart. And like, I'm glad she learned that somewhere along the way. Cause sadly, I feel like she was babysat a lot, honestly. And she was taken care of by my parents a lot so I could work.
Well,
and
I want to ask a question about that.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's affected your relationship now with her? Cause I know what I believe about that.
Yeah.
But I want to know what you believe about that.
A little bit, yeah. I noticed.
I don't.
Really?
I think you and her are the closest little, like you're a dynamic little duo. It's like you and her against the world.
It totally is true. But I noticed that she has a little bit of separation anxiety. Like now that I'm home, because I've learned the hard way, I'm home now. And if I leave for a long amount of time, she kind of gets like stressed out, like as if I'm going to go back to how it was. And so I think that's the only thing that's like kind of affected her and I know that's normal. I know it's something she'll grow out of. She'll understand when she's older.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like she came with me everywhere. Like how you talked about your kids being your little best buddies. You guys took them everywhere.
Yeah.
She went everywhere with me. And
when I got my lashes done by you most of the time, because I wanted to, I would be holding Gray like on my little lap.
Oh, you can ask all my clients when she was a baby, they would literally just hold her.
Snuggle her. Yeah.
I'm like, can you cuddle my kid? I'll do your lashes. Like that was just how it worked. It was the only way. But yeah, I mean, she's my kid. She's a miniature me with absolutely no control. And it's terrifying because like, I think I'm intense. I think I'm so intense, and she is me times 20 with no control, and I love it though.
Well, your intensity is what got you to where you are, so
yeah,
let's talk about what you created in the years of the single motherhood after the lashes, because it evolved into so many different things, and it was like these are big ideas, big concepts.
Yeah.
And you pulled it off by yourself. And I think that single moms right now, they like 9 to 5 doesn't work for a lot of people. It's like you
it didn't for me.
It doesn't. And you have to figure out a way to make ends meet. You got to get creative and hustle. And you have done this so amazingly well in your life. So I want to know your advice, how you did what you did, and explain what business you, I mean, there's three different businesses you created, right?
Yeah.
So the Lash Company was one. We talked about that.
Lash Company, I started one. And then the thing is with single moms, they forget that they need to be able to like trust themselves. I think they get so scared that everything's out of fear because you don't have really a backup plan or someone else to fall on. That fear tends to creep in and you get held back a little bit. But I don't know, if you can push through that fear and just kind of make that leap of faith.
The risk taking
is definitely worth it. Like, I was broke as a joke, like no money. I started my lash business. I saved and saved and saved. And I remember sitting down with your parents when Gray was like a year old, talking about money. And I had somehow in like 6 months, like saved like 10 grand. And I don't even know how I did that. I just didn't spend a penny. So I was like, I knew if I wanted to start something real, like I needed to like hunker down, you know? And so then that's when I started, I got a little studio, just built my clientele. I started doing trainings. I would start advertising on social media that I was going to California. I'd go stay with you and I'd work out of your studio, just taking clients. I did trainings. Trainings was fun. I was able to like write and make my own manual for lashes and teach other, licensed professionals how to do lashes. And then finally, after all those years of saving, so like 2017, so it took like 3 years, I finally had the money and the business plan to start Bye Bye Studios, which was, I had this awesome studio on Highland Drive in Mill Creek, and it had 8 rooms, and I would lease out all the rooms to beauty professionals. I had like my room where I worked out of and a room that I do classes out of.
So you would collect rent from every single...
So I was a landlord, lash artist, like, and what's crazy is when I got the place, like, it was a piece of crap and I didn't want to hire people to do anything because I knew that would cost so much money. So I repainted all of it. I did all the flooring by myself. Like, I redecorated. I did everything.
From the ground up.
It took months.
You guys, this studio was huge.
It was so freaking massive. I don't know what I was thinking, but like, I did it. It was so fun and like... But it was nuts. Like, I remember I would be there from 7 a.m. to like 4 in the morning most times for like weeks on end, just barely like getting by. My kid would be tossed around from my parents, go see her other grandparents. But then once it hit, like, it hit hard. And it was like, it was such an accomplishment for me just to be there compared to where I was.
Because you were 23.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
23. And then I just barely sold it in September, and I'm 26. So I had it for a while, and now it's funny, when I had my son now, Mateo, it kind of makes me think about Gray and how different their lives are already, and how I really just wanted to take a step back now, sell my company, which I did while I was pregnant, and just really try to be a mom. And really just like, I'm taking clients still, obviously, but I'm not doing it at like this overworked, insane pace.
You're not doing 100 hours a week anymore, which is unsustainable.
No, it's not.
It's unsustainable. And I think you wisened up to that too. Like, no one can go at that pace for forever. You might be able to go like a spurt of that energy, but I don't think it's healthy to live. There's no balance in that life.
No, it made my body like physically unhealthy. Like, I wasn't eating. I wasn't sleeping. I lost too much weight. Like, it was taking a toll on me mentally, emotionally. And now it's kind of funny how there's like this pandemic happening where we're kind of forced to just chill out.
Yeah.
And I'm down for it. Like, I really like it. Like, I'm being a mom.
This is replenishment for you. Like, you and I think about that a lot with all the people that this is happening to. Everyone hates it. It's not a good thing. People are losing their jobs. It's causing stress.
Yeah.
But then it is also making people sit down and rest.
Yeah.
And think.
Yes.
And it's just changing up everyone's speed of life, which I think is necessary. I mean, I don't think it should go on any longer. Cross my fingers.
Definitely over it now.
It's over.
But But it's nice. It's a little like restart for everybody.
Yeah.
Get yourself back on track. I know it helped me like crazy. And yeah, the single mom life is no joke. I mean, now I have a partner. I mean, he's amazing. It's funny going from someone that I mean, doing it by myself, essentially not someone I could rely on except myself. Now someone that we're raising kids together.
It's a true partnership.
Yeah. But I'm working backwards. Like now it's weird for me to have to rely on him. Mm-hmm. Like if he, you know, like if he pays a bill, like it's weird. Like for me, I'm like, I'll pay it.
Really?
Yeah. I get really weirded out.
But why do you think? Do you think that I know you? I'm going to call you out right now.
Call me.
You like love your independence.
Love
I think a piece of you doesn't want to rely on a dude.
I hate it.
I think you want to rely on yourself, but then I think that this guy specifically is showing you, okay, like I'm
chill
here,
out.
Like I'm here, and he is there for you, and he's helping financially, and he's helping with the kids, and even with Gray. Gray calls him
dad. Yeah.
So he's like proving to you he's not going anywhere right now, and that's almost weird for you to accept.
It's so weird, and I should be used to it, but I'm not. Like I'm not at all. I get like annoyed sometimes. Like I have to. Like, I force him to let me pay. Like, if there's something that I want to go do, like, I specifically told him, like, I will buy groceries. I want to be able to, like, pay for things here and there because it makes me feel like I have, this is probably really bad, but it makes me feel like I have some sense of control for myself. Because I don't know how to explain it, but it feels like if I let someone do it too much for me, mm-hmm. like, then they're in more control of me than
over,
I am.
Over your life?
Yes.
Yes.
And I don't like that.
I think every woman feels what you're feeling and no one says it. I don't think anyone's brave enough to say it.
I'm saying it right now and it is the truth.
Because when you truly are reliant on another human, that you become dependent on that other. Soon you can't live without them. I mean, I felt that the first five years of my marriage were a circus. We look back and we're like, oh my gosh,
like how'd you survive?
We were children, first of all. We didn't know how to be married. We didn't even know how to adult.
Yeah.
We had three kids, a mortgage. And what were we thinking?
Yeah.
Like, but looking back, we were so dumb. We were awful to each other because we didn't even know how to take care of ourselves, let alone each other and a family. I mean, the kids were never affected. They were like shielded. But we would be so dumb to each other. We
Absolutely.
Were just immature. And I feel like that feeling of, okay, well, I'm stuck because I can't survive on my own. I have three kids. And even if I want to leave this dude, we're too poor. I can't even get divorced if I want to. Bronson and I laugh at that. It's true.
Yeah.
There were times in our marriage where I was like, I am done. There's times in our marriage where he was like, I am done. This is so stupid. But we're like, we're stuck. We can't even afford.
We're too broke.
We're too broke to even separate.
Yes. That's my fear.
It's not funny. You guys, it's only funny because
you're over it now.
Because it's so not
it's
that
past,
way now.
Yeah.
But it's wild that that was my life. It was a thought I had to think. Well, I don't think that this relationship is working, but I cannot do this on my own.
Yeah. That's the thing that I wish women or people in general would understand is no matter the situation, not saying for you and Bronson, but like I've seen it with friends, with family, with myself. I was with someone that loved me, but it wasn't working. And I still left. I chose to leave because it wasn't serving me anymore. And I was broke and I struggled, but I chose that struggle. And instead of dealing with something that I knew would just essentially bring me down. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I don't think people realize.
Well, I think it's you pick your hard in life.
You do.
Staying in a relationship that is not meant for you is hard.
Yeah.
Leaving and doing something on your own and raising a baby and starting multiple businesses is also hard.
It's
but
all
which
hard.
One was fulfilling for you in the end?
Yeah.
It's like you built up your life. You can be so proud of it. You did the hardest thing I think that people can do. And you did it well. And did that, you can take a step back and say, okay, I want to try something new. Like right now you're trying something
so
different.
New. I feel like everything right now is so new. I don't even know what I want to do anymore.
Well, how does it feel to be now you're working? We can't say you're not a working mom.
Yeah, I can't.
But
never
how
stop.
Does it feel?
It's really nice. Like I have like a new morning routine where like I really think about what I want to do with my day, things I want to get done. I do the typical like morning mantras and my what I'm grateful for. Because I'm at a place in my life where I'm like, there's something more I need to do. Like, I love doing lashes, but I feel like there's something else that's kind of missing right now. And it's nice that I can just kind of be home and figure that out and not feel so rushed.
Well, you figured out that you can hustle and make money.
Yeah.
And now it's like you're changing gears into what is your purpose?
Yeah.
Outside of motherhood, outside of just like making money, like what is your bigger life purpose?
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm constantly seeking that because all you can time. Lose yourself in your job and you can lose yourself in motherhood.
Yeah.
You just become a working robot and getting shit done becomes your MO.
Yeah.
But it's there is this deep thing inside of all of us that's why meditation is important, because so when you can quiet your mind, there's this thing. It's this unspoken. It's not even words. It's this feeling of like, what am I really meant to be doing here?
Yeah.
Like, what is my purpose? What does any of this mean?
Yeah.
Does any of it even matter? I don't know.
I think it's funny because if someone doesn't quiet their mind and take that time, it's like the universe will literally force it.
Yeah.
It's forced. I mean, you saw how crazy last year was in our family, getting pregnant, losing dad, everything. It forced me to just chill, yeah. to like forcefully meditate. And mm-hmm. I think more people need to do that.
Does Mark's death have anything to do with your pullback from working?
Yeah.
So we haven't talked about Mark. Should we talk about Mark a little bit?
Let's talk about Mark.
So Mark is the dopest. He married my Aunt Jerry. So yeah. My mom, Joy, and Devin's mom, Jerry, are sisters. Mm-hmm. They live in the same neighborhood.
Yes.
And they have this cool house. They have a pool. Jerry married Mark 10 years ago. 10 years ago?
10 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. It was her third marriage. Mm-hmm. So we were all like, oh, Jerry's on her
third.
There
we go.
But listen, she found Mark. And Mark was this guy in our family that just brought everyone together. If you watch my old stories, everything is at Mark and Jerry's house.
Mm-hmm.
A party every weekend, the craziest, wildest, the Xanadu party.
Oh, that was the funnest. That was the best night.
He was just this force that the whole family didn't even know we were lacking and needed.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The most compassionate, understanding.
Caring dude.
Everything was love.
And they were the modern day Brady Bunch. He had four kids. Jerry had four kids. They got married. Yeah. There was eight kids
in one house.
And he's just this successful man. He was not an EMT, but like search and rescue.
He did search and rescue, but he was an EMT in his early days. But then, yeah, he did search and rescue. And then he owned Newterra, which was, how do you explain what that is?
Like a commercial real estate business. Yeah. He's very successful man.
Yeah. He was a hustler. He's such a hard worker.
Yeah. And he was so helpful. He helped the whole family. Yeah. And more than anything, he was just fun, kind, and loving. So mm-hmm. Mark enters our life, changes everybody's life, specifically yours.
Yeah.
Your mom's kids, like all the kids' lives
changed
so drastically from when before she was married to him to after. It's like an upgrade in all the ways it can be an upgrade.
That's like an understatement. Yeah.
So you tell the story. So what happens?
So where do I start on this story? He got cancer in March.
He was only 49.
He was 49 or 50. He just turned 50. And I feel like your mom and my mom were very almost vague with the severity of it
mm-hmm.
At first. And then it happened so fast. I don't even know. Like he got cancer in March. I found out I was pregnant in April. And it was like this year long of just hell of like him going through chemo. And I ended up moving in with them with my boyfriend now so that we could help take care of him. And
there's still small children in the house.
Still so many small children in the house. Mark was my biggest, like, I just idolized him because he, not only was he such a successful worker and businessman and so good at what he did, but he was also the best dad and the most compassionate, loving human ever. Where I was like, how the heck do you do both of those? Because mm-hmm. you can see people in business be so rude and bring their work home and be grumpy to the family. And he never did.
I couldn't agree. He's the most perfect example of a work-life balanced human. And I don't know how he did that.
No, I really don't.
I've never seen it done like him.
No.
I don't know. He was really, like, when he was home and present. Mm-hmm. He made time to be home.
So present.
He made time for all the kids. And when he was working, he was a badass.
Oh.
He...
he was almost scary. He was so good at what he did. And I've seen him get like, I'd always go to his office all the time because I just loved being there. I love the energy of all these people working. And he was hardcore, like no bullshit. Nothing got past him. This is how it's going to be.
He's smart. Didn't he go to like Cornell? Smart. Where did he go?
Yes, he went out to in New York.
Parsons? I don't know. Is Columbia? That a fashion school?
It's Columbia, right?
Go to college. Okay, I went to college. I got kicked out in 6 weeks.
Does aesthetic school count as college?
No. I did that.
No, I wish. But anyway, yeah. So from that to seeing this man just dwindle and become...
deteriorate.
He just literally deteriorated. And it was... he held our family together. He was completely the glue. And when he passed in September, September 22nd, I had my son December 20th. And it just was a huge shift. And it was very eye-opening, though, I think, for everybody.
He is the epitome of the word when people talk about loss and like grieving and loss. I get that word now because it was a loss.
The biggest loss.
It's just not the same. There's a hole in any. I'm not even his family. Like, I'm his relative through marriage. But like, there is such a loss. I feel it. It's hard to go to the house.
Oh, it sucks.
It's hard. And Jerry, your mom is being so strong. But you're put in this position to help her.
Yeah.
To comfort her. And you have these businesses and you are so pregnant and you have a daughter that you have to care for. And I feel like something in you, because I think a lot of people think like, oh, she couldn't hack it. I'm not talking about you, but when people like close down their businesses, they're like, oh, it wasn't successful or it wasn't making ends meet. Or, but for you, it was such like a moral decision. Like you just honestly knew you needed to spend your time elsewhere.
It's kind of messed up because I wasn't like that before. Work was everything to me. Because that's how I took care of baby. But then when everything happened with Mark, like it was like this weird flip of a switch where I knew the universe was like forcing me to like, Devin, your family needs to come first right now. Like, who cares about money? Like, that'll work itself out in the future. Right now you need to like be there for your siblings, because essentially Mark like took over. He basically adopted like my two little sisters. Mm-hmm. Like, they have known him since they were babies. And everyone was so devastated. So I hope that my tenants that I had at Bi-Fi listen to this and understand why, A, I was never at work anymore for a few months, and why I had to sell so quickly was because it was too much. Like, my brain was on overload. I was grieving so hard. I was so pregnant. I was trying to take care of my family, trying to work, trying to pay the bills of this expensive-ass freaking building. And I couldn't do it. Like, I just tapped out, and I needed to be there for my mom and my siblings. And
you know what's weird? In the moment when stuff like that is happening, it's hard to talk about it. For whatever reason, honesty and transparency in those moments is hard. I don't know why, but because it's easy to talk about after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, when the fresh wound is a little bit healed, like, give it a few months, and you can be like, oh, okay, I see why I did the things I did. But in the moment, you just... are in like survival mode, like absolutely. Trauma.
You like shut down.
You shut down and you can't even give people the explanation that you know they kind of need.
Yeah.
But also it's none of their business.
Yeah.
It's just a weird place. I found myself in that place, not on that scale, but I know what you mean. Like, you couldn't be transparent with them in the moment.
Yeah. And poor, I feel like Mark, he worked so hard to take care of our family that had to play some type of role in him being so sick or like getting so stressed out, because he had 8 kids to take care of. Mm-hmm. And not only that, Mark was the type of person that took care of the extended family and the neighbors and would pick off homeless people off the street and bring them home and take care of them. Like, he gave himself to everybody. And in hindsight, when I look at him, I'm like, I don't want that to be me in a way. Like, I want to be able to balance my work and my family life and do what he did, be able to separate the two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it
was your example.
Yeah. He was the biggest example. And so it's just crazy. But yeah, that, because of Mark, is what helped me slow down, but in a good way, and focus on family.
So do you feel antsy now? Because you've been going at such a high pace for so freaking long, 5 years of just go. Now that you're home, you have Mateo. You guys, Mateo, go to her Instagram and look at him. He looks like a chia pet.
He is a chia pet.
He has
little turtle.
So much hair. It's insane.
I love him so much. It's like painful.
I know.
He is the love of my life.
It aches. It hurts.
It hurts. I get this like mother-son bond now. And I'm
I
like,
know.
This is not okay. Like, I am so in love with him.
I
not
was
that I didn't
so
love my
grossed
daughter,
out. But. I know. Well, I had two girls first, and I was grossed out when people would be like, oh, my little boyfriend. I'd be like, what?
No,
why
it is
are
the
moms
truth.
Saying this? It's weird. Then I had a son, and I was like, oh, he is the love of my life.
The love of my life. I don't even need attention from my boyfriend anymore. I'm like, I have Mateo.
I know. It's something weird. Yeah. It's unexplainable.
I love him. But yeah, I have him. Wait, what was the question already? I forgot. We're getting all
the pace.
Oh, the
pace. Is so, so different.
Yeah. Holy
Does
hell,
the
yeah.
pace give you anxiety? Because I know that people who are workaholics that kind of start to switch gears, they almost feel, this is Bronson. I'm going to out him right now. Mm-hmm. But he is such a workaholic.
Yeah.
That sometimes if we sit down to watch a movie, he's like, he has to get his laptop and he'll listen to the movie, but he's still working.
That was me last year. But now I've shifted.
So do you feel that anxiety, that need to work?
Or is it you lately? I have lately, but like, here's the thing. After Gray, I didn't have time to be sad. I didn't have time to be depressed. I didn't have time to even see if I had postpartum depression. Like, I just went and did my thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Had to be a single mom. After Mateo, it was slow pace. It was like, we just lost someone very significant. I just had a baby. I just sold my whole company that I worked so hard for. I stopped taking clients, and it was like this just sudden anxiety and stress and depression that like overwhelmed me after he was born. Mm-hmm. And I've had 6 months now. Well, he's 4 months, but since Mark's passing, so 4 months since Mateo was born to figure it out. And now that I'm in a good place now, like I have it all under control. I've been grieving, whatever. Now I'm like, okay, I'm ready to kind of like get back out there. Not at the level as before quite yet, but like I do want to get back to work. Like, I miss it. I'm ready to move on to bigger things. Mm-hmm. Like, do something that I absolutely love that I can involve my family and I can still give them time while making money. Like, I'm trying to now think smarter.
Smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
That has been our motto for the last like 3 years.
Yeah. It's the truest thing. You have to.
And there's always a way. You got to get so creative.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, you have to get a little bit risky.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's that saying? Without great risk, there comes no reward.
Reward or something. Yeah.
But that's the truth. I mean, how many times have we have failed in our businesses? So many times.
So many times. But you have to. Like,
you have to.
The failure is not even a scary thing anymore. And it shouldn't be. Like, it every time I failed personally, like, it brought me one step closer to like what I'm supposed to do. I learned 5 new things that I shouldn't do. Like, it helps.
Every previous job you've ever had or been a part of is like schooling. However long you were there, you take that as, okay, it's equivalent to X many years of college. Like, you learned something and you take that experience, you bring it into the next, and it evolves and it grows, and you have to have faith that something else is out there. I always say this, so girls write into my Instagram all the time. It's always about relationships. Always about a dude who doesn't pay them enough attention and they're 23. And I'm like, what on earth are you doing?
Yeah.
What you are, you have your entire life in front of you. There are so many fish in the sea. Like, there are more, people are so afraid to leave something they know because they understand it. Like, the fear of the unknown is worse to them than their shitty situation.
Yes.
But it's the same with business.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta let shit go.
You just
have to move or switch or take a break like you're doing. And it doesn't mean you're not a badass working mom. You're just taking a little break, a well-deserved break.
I need a break.
And something else will spin up.
Yeah. Like, looking back, starting Bye-Bye, I'm like, first of all, I don't know how I even did that, because I made so many mistakes in the beginning, but I thought they were the right moves. And now 3 years later, here I am thinking like, that was dumb. Like, I don't even know why I did that. I don't even know how I did that. But now next time going forward, and I plan on doing it again, but I'm going to do it better.
Yeah.
And have a better plan and execute it hopefully a lot better than the first time. But yeah, it's
That's life.
It's life.
That's exact. What you just said is life in a nutshell.
It's actually so simple.
It really is.
Yeah. It's very simple.
Just feels really scary in the moment.
Yeah. And the biggest thing, and I was telling you this before, was who you surround yourself with. Like, I am, like, the biggest.
Oh, my gosh. I want you to preach this right now.
I am the biggest, biggest believer on, like, you are who you surround yourself with.
The five people, the five closest people in your life are, you can look at them as mirrors because what they're doing in their life kind of predicts exactly where you'll be.
Yeah. And sadly, because I have a lot of single mom friends, a lot, because that's all, that's like, you attract them because you guys get each other. And sadly, a lot of single moms, and I did it, I definitely did it, we get a little lonely. We like want some attention. We want to feel not so alone, have a partner that we very easily can fall into this trap of.
Is it like the word desperate is harsh?
It's,
but there is a desperation in your longing for like a family. I'm saying that in quotes, like a family structure.
No, yeah. Absolutely.
Like a partnership.
Yeah, you do. You get desperate. Your kid gets bigger and you're like, oh my gosh, they need a dad. They need a family unit. They need to see this because I don't want them to struggle when they're older with relationships. Like, and I say that because I come from a divorced family and it does take an effect on kids. And yeah, so you get a little desperate. And I've done that in the beginning when I first was single, where I wasn't around good people and I wasn't making good choices. And it did absolutely nothing for my life. All it did was drain my savings, drain my energy, and take away time from my kid. And it was like the minute I changed that and was around people that had what I wanted, they were successful, they were happy, they were confident, they're all these things, and I was around them so much, I became those things. And it literally was what guided me to do what I did and what helped me be successful, was because I just, you almost keep them in the back of your mind. It's almost like you want to like fit in and impress them too. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly.
Well, it's a weird form of networking. Even if you're just friends, you're not working. It's like the people you surround yourself shape your life.
So much.
Surround yourself with, right? Yeah.
What did I even, say? No, you're right. Even the clients I take, like, I'm very picky. Like, if they're a client that isn't a good energy or like is just negative or mean or something, like, okay, saw you one time, did your lashes, thank you, so nice to meet you, but like I can't do that.
The same way.
Yeah,
our family is like weird, sensitive empaths,
so sensitive,
it really affects us so much. My kids are the same way. Do you think that Gray got it? It's like a gene. I swear.
No, it is. We're so sensitive,
so it matters even more if you're a sensitive person. This way of living, which is you protect your energy, you protect the people, like you pick the people around you to protect your space.
Yeah,
you got to be so choosy. And it's a lot like leaving a boyfriend. It doesn't mean men or boys or your relationship. Like, this is your friends.
I'm this so the people stubborn you work with it too. And I think people should be. If you ask anyone that knows me, like, I'm a very direct, stubborn. I know I'm stubborn. Feisty. I know I'm intense. I'm feisty. Yes. But I will. It's so, before Gray, when I first had Gray, I feel like it was, I kind of just wanted to be around anybody. I let people walk all over me, whatever. But once you learn that lesson on like who you surround yourself with really does affect you, then it's like there's nothing that should come in your way of saying no. Like,
so what's your red flags of when you know you need to break away from any human, male or female? What have you learned?
Learn like, not to be, why I don't want to be around them.
Like the traits. And when you see in other people and you're like, oh, red flag, I'm going to distance myself.
Oh gosh, when they are so into themselves, they can't even like acknowledge another person's existence. Like if someone that has no compassion, no like sensitivity or awareness of their surroundings, like that's a red flag for me. Cause I don't know.
It's a narcissistic trait
that I'm just not down for. Like, it's actually really scary to be around.
Mine is like trickery and gameplay.
Not about it.
You know those friends or men or whatever that are like, they set you up to fail. Like, I remember calling a friend. I was like, oh, what do you want? They were sick or something. And she was like, nothing, we're sick, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. And then I hear through the grapevine, like, oh, so-and-so is so mad at you. You didn't go give them popsicles when they were sick.
No.
And I was like, that is some bullshit I can't be around.
Yeah.
Like, I am an adult woman. I'm not going to be set up to fail.
Yeah, just tell me what you want.
Like, or don't. Or why do we even put our, I don't know, like, I don't expect things from people. I just expect kindness.
Exactly.
So if people start expecting things from me that I'm like, what? Why are, we're not, you're not a person in my life where that's a red flag. Any gameplay, any trickery, any narcissism.
Not about it.
And I feel like those drama vampires. You know the drama vampires?
You sense them. Like, you know when someone's like just full of drama, drama follows them.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yep.
It's too much. I like the people that, I love people. I like to get to know people. Networking is so fun. And it can be fun, but it also can be draining. And when it, what was my point to that? Basically, what I'm saying is if there's someone I meet that you can tell doesn't really like people, they're not like this warm, comforting soul to be around. Mm-hmm. You can, your gut always knows when someone's not really there for the right reasons, or you know what I mean? Like, those are just people just to avoid.
Yeah.
Like, don't even waste your time.
Agreed.
At all. Not about it.
The best part about this, Dev, is that you are so young and you have all this experience.
It's weird.
I mean, you've lived a life of a 50-year-old woman.
Literally was going to say, I think I'm 50 years old. I'm not
kidding.
How
old are you?
Only 26.
Yeah, you're only 26.
But I truly feel 50. And I can't even hang around people my age because they think I'm, like, boring because I'm so just, like, I don't know. I'm kind of boring.
Do you want to know one of my biggest, like, insecurities is what? That I feel, because people listen to the podcast and they're like, oh, they either like me or hate me. Like, there's no in between.
No,
people,
same.
I'm polarizing.
Yeah.
People like me or absolutely cannot stand me.
I totally relate.
I don't know. I'm not even trying to make the people like me.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I don't know what I was going to say with that. What were we talking about?
Why do we
about?
Keep doing that? I've done that three times now. I've counted.
Probably because we're so comfortable around each other.
I know. I lose my train of thought.
Oh,
all the
boring.
Time.
My insecurities.
Oh, boring. Yeah.
My biggest insecurity is that I meet people that like think I'm cool, and then they meet me in real life, and I am so subpar. Like,
no,
I am so boring. I like can't entertain. Entertaining people gives me anxiety.
No,
I don't
like
want to entertain anybody.
Nightmare.
I think I'm really boring in real life.
Same.
But just like, it's good. It's like in the middle. I'm not high. I'm not low. I'm just cruising. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy being boring and doing my daily routine. And I feel really comfortable with my life.
Yeah.
And I guess I just don't care to impress people.
No, heck no.
But I do hate disappointing people. Like, they put me on a pedestal and they think I'm awesome. And really, I'm like, hello.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, I relate to that so much. I hate entertaining people.
I hate it.
If Adrian ever invites people over and doesn't warn me and I'm there by myself, I get pissed. I'm like, I don't want to entertain. Like, I'm
Adrian
trying to
is
get
her
my
boyfriend
shit done.
Now.
Oh, yeah. What's up, Adrian? But no, like, I get you on that.
Okay, this is my last question because I know single mamas right now are this is I told you that people mostly want like relationship DM advice, which I don't give. I'm not that person. But a lot of people are question relationships. So as a single mom, you have Gray. You meet Adrian, you bring him into your life, and you like courted is the word. Like, you like test these people out before you introduce them to Gray, because
heavily
you're a really good mom, Dev. You protect her, and you really are like such a good mom.
Thank you.
So when you're ready to introduce your daughter to this person that you've been with for a long time and kind of meld their lives together, it's a big freaking step.
It's huge. I dated a guy 2 years before I dated Adrian. You remember him?
Yes.
And I thought he was the one. Like, we brought Gray into our lives. And it was, in my book, I thought it was amazing. And right before we were literally going to get engaged, I find out the whole time he was lying and cheating. And it was just like, went over me. Like, I had no idea. You wouldn't have been able to tell me. And that was that moment where, when you introduce your kids to someone, like, what's my point to that? When you introduce your kids to someone, you need to be very careful. Like, really learn who they are. Like, get to know their friends. Get to know who they surround themselves with. Get to know their family. Their family is key. Because, it like, jaded me. It scared me to death. And after that,
it made you not want to be, like, date.
No, I didn't want to date. I hated men. I hated them. And I was so mean. They were so scared of me and intimidated because I was so just rude. Like, screw all of you. And, like, don't mess with my baby. And it took a lot of time. So you just need to be careful. I think some moms introduce their kids really fast. And not saying that's the wrong or right way, but, like, if it's someone you know is not a good person or someone that they could get attached to.
Someone that you're even questioning.
Yeah. Don't do it, because these kids, my daughter got attached to him. I mean, thank God she was, like, so young. She doesn't even remember who he is at this point. But she got attached to him, and it took a couple months after of her asking, where is he? Like, where is he? And it breaks your heart. Like, It subconsciously does affect your kids.
You feel responsible.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have your parents in the background. Like, my parents, of course. Like, that's the one thing that I also want to touch on.
What?
Is when you are a single parent, for whatever reason, it's like your parents think they're instantly the other parent for you, and they feel the need to tell you how to parent. Mm-hmm. I love my parents. I love them so freaking much. But there has been so many times where I tell them, like, back off. Like, just stop telling me what to do. Like, I'm figuring it out. You're not the parent. Mm-hmm. And now we have those boundaries where it's like, you watch my baby because you want to. You're their grandparents and you're helping me out, and I'm grateful. But don't take that as like,
you're the parent.
You're the parent. Like, I am still, I mean, clearly, if I wanted to raise my child the exact way they raised me, I might as well just give my baby to them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for parents to find their own way of parenting.
Okay, you know, the book where Devin and I are both reading, Untamed by Glennon Doyle.
It's the best book ever.
We just were talking about it before the podcast. Yeah. It's like the Bible.
The Bible.
It is like, if you are a woman or man, you read this book. You read it in your soul. You read the words and you're like, yes.
I've read that chapter that you're about to talk about.
You know it. The minute you become a true, like a mother, like a real mother, is you stop becoming a good daughter.
Oh, I always tell my friends, the minute I became a mom, it was like I untaught myself everything I learned in life and had to reteach myself other morals, other values, because it's just different. It's also a different
time.
And
you go against your parents in a really, like, it feels at first unnatural, but it's like the beginning of the way that you are going to parent. And it kind of always, because that's what we all want. I want my kids to do better than me.
Absolutely.
And I know that when that time comes and they're like, well, I'm not going to do it because I didn't like it when you did this to me, I think it's going to sting. Mm-hmm. But I'm prepping myself now. I got about 15 years to go. I'm going to try not to take it personal.
You can't.
I'm going to try to not take it personal. But I think it is a hard, like, parent-daughter dynamic. When your daughter becomes a mother, like, her role as mother is more important than the role as your daughter.
Absolutely.
I mean, it just takes over.
Absolutely.
It's a weird transition.
It's really weird. I also think when I had a daughter, I understood my mother more.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I despised her.
You immediately have so much sympathy for them. Like, you understand the love they have for you.
Yeah.
Makes you love them so much more openly.
Yeah. And I also understood the weird things, like her, when she would be in her moods or when she would need alone time, I would be so offended. Like, do you not want me? Do you not want to, like, hang out with me? But really now I'm like, I get it. Like, you're a mom, you're human. Like, we all need our alone time.
Yeah.
Like, even as a parent, we need our time.
I thought that a parent's job was to support and like live for their children.
No.
Until I had children. Yeah. And I was like, oh, wait, I am still an individual who needs my own. I need to have individual interests. I need to have individual, like, time. I'm independent from, and this goes with marriage too, or partnership.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's not healthy. The codependency thing it's not healthy. And I think it's not healthy for your kids to see either.
No, I love, and I've always told you this, that I admire you the most in life because you are such an example to your kids on how to be your own person and how to be confident in who you are. And I think that's so important for kids. When they're so heavily, like, attached, not that being attached to your parent is wrong because everyone in a sense is, but overly coddling, you're like, you don't let them make their own choices.
Ask them their own beliefs. I don't say, you believe this.
Give me your opinion, kid. Yeah. Like, I want to hear the opinion.
What if my kids grow up and they're like, Mom, what were you, like, you really effed me up. Like, why did you do that? That is something that I go to bed thinking.
Oh, God.
But then I just got to let it go. I mean, I'm not in control of how they think of me.
I think all of us think that of our parents at one point.
I'm just doing my best. I'm right? trying my best.
We're doing our freaking best. This is, it's my, who was it that told me this? I don't remember who told me. A friend was like, just remember, Devin, this is your first time being a parent. Every day is new. And they're like, just take it day by day. And I was like, oh, that's a good way to look at it. Like, it is. Every day something new is happening. This is my first time dealing with it.
And if you feel like you really effed up, we make mistakes.
Every day.
I apologize to my kids. I'm like, oh, sorry. Like, that was not, I'm not a superhero. I'm not perfect. Like, I really make mistakes.
Oh, my daughter reminds me daily not to say bad words. Yeah. Because I'll accidentally say shit and she's mom. Like, we all mess up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally get you on that.
It's just a weird life, Div.
Being a parent is gnarly. It's so gnarly. But, like, we wouldn't take it back.
No.
Mm-mm. And it's crazy now with the second kid. Like, I bet you, tell me if you agree or not, with Zuri, it was like chicken with the head cut off. With me, with Gray, it was chicken with the head cut off. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Now, I have Mateo, you have Rem, and Ozzy. And it's like, I almost feel like I'm a better parent to Mateo.
Yeah.
Because I, like, learned from the first time
around. I feel bad for Zuri and Remy.
I feel bad for Gray. So I feel you. Like, I'm really sorry. Like, really.
I didn't know a damn thing. And I didn't even have the internet or a smartphone when I had Zuri. I was in the freaking dark. I was in the ice age. Like, just trying to figure it out.
A time they'll never know about.
They'll never even know. No. And then the internet did. Like, I guess the internet was around. We were so poor, we didn't even have a device to use it.
Yeah.
Like, it was around in 2008. Yeah. I didn't have access to the internet or a library. I just figured that shit out on my own.
Yeah. Ugh. We had to read a book.
These moms on Instagram now, I'm like, you have no idea.
They have no idea. I wish I had that when I had Gray. Well, I kind of did, but not really because I was broke. I literally couldn't even afford a computer when I had Gray. Like, that's not a thing. And my dad was still paying my phone bill.
I think it's kind of, do you know what? I think it's kind of a good thing that we're on this subject because I think too much information can be a bad thing. Like, I see these new moms and they're like, they got the money. They got the partnership. They have their life set up. They started at 32. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the, in a picture perfect world, you're like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, they're ready to have a human, bring a human into this world. But then there's like too much information that I think it takes them out of their motherly intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I raised the kids because I didn't have access to all these things. By the time I had Ozzy, I was on Instagram. I had a blog, all this stuff. And I almost felt kind of freaked out in the beginning. I like knew too much.
Yeah.
Like I kind of reverted back to just not knowing, like not reading anything and just being that like motherly vibe, that intuitive. That's when it always works the best. Like, put the books down.
Yeah.
Put the internet away.
The books, no.
Put the Google Doctor, just don't.
Just don't do it.
Just do what feels good.
It's funny because people on social media, and like, we're all guilty for this, but they post the good. It's all the good. Their children being behaved, their children looking clean and put together, and the moms looking put together with the families. Mm-hmm. But it would be a lot more refreshing if I could see pictures or stories or whatever of a messy home or their kids destroying the house. Like, that's real life. That's parenting. That's children.
Like, on my kids' chore chart is wipe goo off walls. Like, once a week. Like, no one prepared me. Why is there goo on my walls?
I know.
Handprints. People. Everywhere.
Yeah.
No one talks about that.
No.
The shit all over your house, the gooey shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Perfect. I don't know what it is. It's not. No. I don't know.
I always find boogers on the wall at my house. I'm like, that's cool.
Yep.
Like, those are the things that's reality. Social
media. No one told me that a little boy, I'm telling you this right now, a little boy, when they start peeing in the toilet, think about it. Their little pee-pee goes straight. So they don't pee in the bowl. It pees on the,
no, I'm not ready
like
for
the
that.
Walls behind the toilet. I will burn this toilet. I have to wait till he gets a little taller. I've realized it's a sizing issue. It's like his level, you know, like it's not even his fault. But like, I'm going to burn the toilet and get a new one. There's no cleaning it.
Oh, my God.
It's like stained. It's so bad. This is stuff no one tells you.
This is so random. But I remember when Ozzy was a baby and I was staying with you in California and I was changing his diaper because I'd never changed like a boy diaper.
Oh, yeah. A little boy.
And you were like, just prepare. Like, baby boys get like
boners.
Little baby boners.
And no one prepared me for that.
What are you talking about? Like, I didn't even know what you were talking about.
I almost took him to the hospital.
Yeah.
I was like, something is wrong, because I thought it was impossible. And then I called the doctor. I literally called the doctors. I was like, he has like an erection, like something's wrong, because physically that can't happen. They don't. It's not sexy.
Yeah,
like,
you know, not.
Like, and they're like, oh no, it's just blood flow. Like it happens normally. And I was like, what? Why didn't anyone warn me about this?
I didn't change Mateo's diapers for the first week of his life because of that. And because I don't know what would hurt him.
Yeah.
Like little girls, I'm like, I know what to do. Little boys, I have no idea.
So, I know. Now I think little boys are easier than little girls.
Absolutely.
But I didn't in the beginning. I was like,
they just love their moms.
I know.
They love them.
I know.
Okay,
Dev, what's your last thoughts to all the single mamas out there? What's your last, what do you want to say?
You can freaking do it. It's more common than not these days, sadly. There's a lot of single mamas. And the one thing that I think is helpful is even if you feel alone, you're not. There's always friends, people you can talk to. Freaking message me, I'll talk to you. But also, like what we were talking about before, if you're struggling financially, like we all have, there's resources. Like you can.
Oh, I'm so happy you brought this up.
Yeah, there's resources. Like if childcare, the state, there's ways to go through the state and they'll help you pay for it. Like there's way to get food. There's way to get formula. Like
you're saying, utilize these resources.
Utilize them.
And don't be proud. They're there for you. If you are struggling, you're a single mom, you need the assistance, use the resources. They are made for you.
Absolutely. I used WIC, Gray's whole first year of life, to get formula for her. Mm-hmm. Like it's the best. Utilize them. They're there for a reason. And just try to find a good group to surround yourself with, a lot of good ladies. I used to go to single mommy workout classes, I'm not kidding you, at the park in Draper. And it would just be us single moms, and we'd like run with our kids with their strollers and like just kind of motivate each other. So utilize these resources, find yourself a solid group, and just be easy on yourself. Like everyone's struggling. We're all trying to figure it out every day. And yeah, just don't think you're crazy when you have crazy thoughts.
Okay, I love you so much.
I love you so much.
This might be my favorite podcast.
It's obviously mine at this point. You've interviewed all my friends, so now I'm like, it's my turn.
I know. It's so true. Everyone has been connected to Devin. It's the weirdest thing.
Like I said, I love people. I love them, so talk to me.
Okay, well, I love you so much. Where can they find you on Instagram?
So, depends. My personal one is just at Miss Devin, and Devin's DEVYNNE. And then my business one is Divine_Lashes_Devin.
You guys, those, her lashes, by the way, that's the only person I ever let do my lashes. And
thank
they're so
you.
Amazing. But during this whole quarantine and Mark's death and everything.
I saw that.
I know. Well, she was out of work. I had to get freaking Lashify.
You're
do my
dagging
own now.
Lashify. I actually stocked them because I had to take mine off, too. And I was like, am I about to do this? Like, am I really about to buy these
guys,
freaking things?
Lashes are life.
Life
changing.
If I don't have them, I hate the world, and I'm not kidding.
You don't have to get ready anymore.
Never.
Like for some reason, I don't even wear foundation when I have lashes on.
It's the best gift.
You wake up and you are ready, and it is like the only thing I do that is super high maintenance. But I think it's because I'm actually low maintenance.
Yeah,
because I don't want to get ready.
No, that's actually true. If I just have my lashes, if every woman has their lashes, we're easy.
Yeah,
and happy.
Yep,
we're happy. But I love you.
I love you, too.
Thank you.
I think
you.
You're amazing. And I'm like, just on a real note, so proud of you.
Aww,
you're like the best person I know. You live such a beautiful life. It's authentic to you. You're hustling. You're a good mom. I'm proud to say you're my family.
Aww,
I love you.
For the record, you were the one that like started my whole journey.
Oh, I was like, girl, don't go to college.
She
do
forced
aesthetics.
I didn't even know what aesthetics was. And you forced my mom to put me in it.
Yeah.
So I have you to thank.
I know.
So thank you.
You're welcome. All right, you guys. Love you. We will see you next week. Follow Devin on Instagram.